The Gospel of Luke tonight, chapter 9, and the verse 48 is the one that I draw your attention to. Not the only text tonight, but it is one of the texts, and we read it now. Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. Receiveth me, it says there in the midst of verse 48. Receiving Christ. I want tonight to do a short word study. It's not exhaustive, it's just one sermon, and therefore I can't cover the word in all its use in the gospel, but a partial examination of the use of this word tonight. And that word is in our opening text. In fact, it is in our opening text four times. Four times the word is used. And it is the word receive. Whosoever shall receive this child receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. Now, when I speak about a word study, I'm speaking of several Greek words. Some are compounds, but they all have this verb receive in them. Luke likes that word. In this chapter, just for a start, for example, it occurs in verse 5. Whosoever will not receive you. And then again, it occurs there in verse 11. People, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them. And there it is also in verse 53. They did not receive him. So here seven times in this chapter alone, Luke uses the word. He really seems to love that word receive. In Luke's Gospel and Acts of the Apostles alone, which Luke also writes, half of the uses of this word receive in the New Testament are found. Half of them are in his writings. So it's very evident that it's a word he likes. We might ask, why does Luke like this verb? Why is this something that he's always watching out for? To be able to use it? Well, I think it's because of his own occupation. And the kind of man that he is. Because it's a very welcoming word. It's a very warm word. It's a word that sets forth a receiving with kindness. A great keenness to give the hospitality to the one received. So Luke likes to see a warm welcome. It's something he's always watching out for. Because he himself is a physician. The sick would come to him. And all kinds of people with all kinds of maladies. Is he such a man as each time would say, well, that's a bother, that's a nuisance? Does he say, go away? Does he have the closed door sign up all the time? Is that the kind of physician that he is? No, I don't think so. He was one who gave the sick a warm welcome. He was one who received them joyfully and tried to help them gladly. And he liked to see this in Jesus. And he liked to see it in people towards Jesus. He liked to see a welcome. A reception. So he's always telling us about this in his narrative. Even when he doesn't use a word, you sometimes feel the word's in his mind, but he's not going to use it. As if he's kind of saying, I've used that word too much, I'm not going to use it again. I'm just going to paint the verb. And he does. That's the secret of a great storyteller. Not using the words all the time, just simply and blandly, but actually painting it, showing it, showing the welcome, making you feel the welcome that is taking place. So sometimes he omits a verb, but he paints the picture without it. I think of the stories of the lost things. He tells us in Luke chapter 15, you remember the three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. He does use the verb there at the end in regard to the story of the prodigal son. It's the servant, you remember. The wayward son has been received. And the other son, he's coming back from the fields and he hears the music, he hears all the singing and he's wondering what's happening. And he calls one of the servants and he asks, what does all this mean? And the servant answered and said, thy brother's come back again and thy father have killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. He uses a verb at the end. But he's already painted it in great detail. What that means, this reception. He didn't just receive him, but he painted it, the reception. And you know the story well. Whenever the man came back again, the son returned. What did the father? The father saw him afar off. He had compassion on him. He ran towards him. Do you see the welcome he's getting? He's running to receive him. And it says he fell on his neck and he kissed him. That's some welcome. That's some reception. The son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, I'm not worthy to be called your son. And then what did the father do? Well, he called the servants. This is a kind of reception he's getting. He called the servants, bring forth the robe, put on him the ring on his hand, give him shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf, make a great meal. We'll have a great feast, a great welcome feast. So the Lord Jesus Christ is really painting that. But what I'm saying is Luke is the one who records that. He liked that. Matthew, Mark, and John don't record that. It's Luke doing that. Because he just loved that. The other two parables, the verb's not used there, but it's the same idea. The shepherd, he finds the sheep. He takes it up. He receives it. He welcomes it. He's glad to see it. Gives it a great welcome. Doesn't tell it off. Brings it home. And then the woman who finds a coin, you can imagine how she received that whenever she saw it. Oh, she was excited, she was glad, she was rejoicing, and she just received the coin into her hand. Now, he doesn't use a verb, but he paints it all there for us because he likes that, this reception, this welcome. There's a word for feast that comes from this verb receive, a reception feast, a welcome feast. That's only used twice in the New Testament, this special word for feast. And both times, it's Luke that uses it. That's a word he uses to describe the feast that Matthew made for the publicans. Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. So that was a great welcoming feast. It wasn't a closed door feast, you know, just the special and the privileged got. Oh, Matthew was so happy. He wanted to make people feel the welcome that he felt whenever he came to Jesus. And so he has this welcoming feast for all that he ever knew. And then the Lord, you remember the Lord says, when thou makest a feast, the same word, Luke's telling us about it, Luke 14, verse 13. That's the word that he uses, Greek. The Lord spoke in Aramaic, but Luke has to find a Greek word to describe it. And he uses this Greek word, this feast, this reception feast, this welcoming feast. When you make a feast, call the poor. Call the maimed. Call the lame. Those kind of people. Welcome them. And that's what the gospel is. It's a welcoming feast for the poor, for the maimed, for the lame, for the publicans, for the sinners. And Luke's always bringing this out. So whenever we read Luke's gospel, and I trust that you do read it, and that you read it carefully, and whenever you do, you look for this verb, and you look for those pictures where he doesn't use the verb, but where he's painting the verb in other words. And the more that you read Luke, you know, you really discover he can tell stories. The Lord has given him that gift. And as I said, the verb here occurs four times. But while it occurs four times, there are only three receptions. You see that in the verse. There is, first of all, the reception of the child. Whosoever shall receive this child. Welcome this child. Really embrace this child. Give this child hospitality. whosoever will receive this child. You see, there's a child in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus Christ has put that child there. Why did he do that? Well, we read the story. There was this conversation amongst them. The Lord wasn't being made known about it, but he knew their thoughts. Who's going to be the greatest among us? And the Lord just, he himself took a child. He received the child. He welcomed this child, and he put the child beside him. It was a warm welcome, a warm reception as he takes the child beside him. And that wasn't like the welcoming disciples. They weren't like that. They're egotistic. They're worried about themselves. They're interested in their promotion. They're not too concerned about a little child. They're more concerned about themselves and their greatness. So they don't have a warm welcoming spirit for children. They have rather a warm heart for themselves. And the Lord is showing his own heart when he just takes this little child. So there's a wonderful picture there. And so here this child is, the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, and he says to us too, whosoever shall receive this child. And then there's the receiving of Christ, because it says, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. That's really what we want in our lives, isn't it? The reception of Christ. To receive Jesus. And it's a good thing to receive Jesus. It's a very important thing. This is what Luke is particularly interested in, the receiving of Jesus. How people receive him. And we'll come to that in a moment. Well, here it is in one way. How do we receive Jesus? Well, he can be received in many ways. He can be received evangelically and savingly by faith directly. We receive him directly by taking him into our lives, by embracing him by faith. But you know, not only can we receive him directly, we can also receive him indirectly. Whosoever receiveth this child receiveth me. That means we could also reject him indirectly. Whosoever doesn't welcome the child is rejecting me. That's a very solemn thing. Did you ever think that maybe there's some people you walk past in the street and you're rejecting them, and all the while you might be rejecting Christ? Well, we should be very careful. Maybe a beggar. Maybe some needy soul in the street. And we just, you know, on we go, nearly knock them down, hardly care. We have to be very careful. Because Christ might be in them or related to them in some way. So we have to be careful. There's an indirect reception and rejection of Jesus Christ. Christians have to be welcoming. That's what I'm saying. Christians have to know something of what this verb means. To be receiving people, receiving sinners. It could be rejecting Christ and rejecting children or others who are connected with Jesus. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto you in that day, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And inasmuch as you didn't do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me. So in rejecting a brother, you're rejecting Christ. And in receiving a brother and doing good to a brother, you're doing good and receiving Christ. So we receive Christ in many, many ways, people of God. Every day. We must remember that. And then there's the receiving of the Father in the text. Whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. That's the Father. So we receive the Father when we receive Christ. And that's always true. You know, the Muslim and the Jew says, we have God. We have Allah. I have God in my life. No, no. I'm sorry, you Muslim, I'm sorry, you Jew. No, you don't have God in your life, because you don't have God if you don't receive Jesus. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So only those who have received Christ receive the Father. Whosoever does not receive the Son doth not receive the Father either. And so the reception of Christ is necessary in order to the reception of the Father. Now, in these three receptions, where the four verbs are used, you notice the prominent one is the receiving of Christ. The verb is used twice in relation to Christ. Receiveth me, and whosoever receiveth me, receiveth him. So you see how the verb is used twice with Christ. And Christ is in the middle. The child, Christ, the Father, and two of the verbs enclose Christ. Because that's the most important reception of all. The reception of Christ. The sinner has to receive Christ. The most important thing of all. You receive the child in order to receive Christ. That's so important. You're not just receiving the child just for the child's sake, because he's a nice, lovely child. No, you're receiving the child because you want to receive Christ. And then you receive Christ in order to receive the Father. So you can't have the Father without Christ, and you can't have Christ without the child, and it's Christ that is the central and the thing in the middle. And it is this reception of Christ that particularly I'm thinking about tonight. That's what Luke likes to see. Thrills his heart. The welcoming of the Saviour. It was why he wrote this gospel. He wrote this gospel to show the welcome that Jesus ought to have. Now, of course, he painted it the other way. He painted the welcome that Jesus has for sinners. That's why we mentioned Luke 15. He painted that also. This man receiveth sinners, Luke writes, coming from the lips of the Pharisees and the scribes. But we haven't time to focus on that aspect. We're only going to focus on one tonight, and that's the reception of Christ. We're concentrating on that. And we want to look at several examples in the Gospel of Luke in relation to this. The first use of the word is found in Luke chapter 2, and we turn to that now. It is a case of Simeon, that old man. He came into the temple. He was there in Jerusalem. He was a devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Now you see that word, took up. That's this verb, receive. Took him up, he received him. He welcomed him. You can just see the excitement, the thrill. He's been waiting for this. All the time. And there it is, this day it takes place. The child comes in and he wants to receive the child. And Mary offers the child to him. And he receives him in his arms. He was an excited man that day. Do we receive Jesus like that? He was old when he received him in his arms. You know, you don't have to be young to receive Jesus. Mercifully, the old can receive him too and welcome him. Even though they've lived a life long without him, they're still welcome to receive him. They're still able to embrace him and give him a welcome into their done life. It's done. It's over. But still, he can be received even then. So this old man received Jesus. And he received him because he was taught of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost taught him. The Holy Ghost brought him into the temple at that time. It was the Holy Ghost overshadowing all of this. Nobody can really receive Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And so those of us who have received Jesus and who welcome Jesus in our lives every day, we have the Holy Spirit to thank for that he has worked thus in us. Because it's not a natural thing to receive Jesus. And now he's ready to die because he's received Jesus. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, he says. I'm ready to die, I've received him. And there's nothing makes you more ready to die than receiving Jesus Christ. And you must make sure that you never die without having received Jesus Christ. And you dare not and cannot die without receiving him, because that would be a very dangerous and a very sad thing. And he received him with joy. Oh, he blessed God. It was so much to give God thanks for this receiving of Jesus. So Luke likes that. Matthew, Mark, and John didn't record it, but he had to get it down. There's that welcome that I like. And he wrote it down. And then there's a case of Jairus. In Luke chapter 8, we turn to that now, just a few chapters. And the verse 40, the Lord Jesus is coming back on the Sea of Galilee into Capernaum. And it came to pass that when he was returned, the people gladly received him. And they were all waiting for him. Now, why were they waiting for him? Why was there this queue? Why was there this looking for Jesus? Because this man, Jairus, was a very important person. And Jairus is there. He comes forward now because he's among this crowd waiting to receive him. Oh, when's Jesus going to come? When's Jesus going to arrive? When are we going to be able to welcome him in the midst again? Because Jairus needs him. And he's a very important man, as I said. And he's a ruler, you see, in the synagogue. He's the main figure. He's the chief man in the community. And his little girl is very seriously ill. So they received him. They were never so glad to see Jesus till that day. And you know the story. We don't have to go into it in all its detail. But Luke notes it. This welcome that he had that particular day. And that's how we ought to receive Jesus. We're poor and needy. We have a great need. We have someone sick in our life. We have our own sick heart and soul. We have our sins. We're just so needy. And we should be looking for Jesus, waiting for Jesus, expecting Jesus, and ready to receive him when he comes. That's the way sinners need to receive Jesus. Not just some simple, cold, formal, kind of casual asking him into your heart. No, it's more than that. It's a hearty reception of him, a need of him. I can't do without him. He has to be in my heart and life. That's the receiving of Jesus that the Bible asks of us. And then the other story that Mark relates to us in terms of this word is found in chapter 10 of Luke. And it is the case of Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus. And in verse 38 we read, it came to pass as they went and entered into a certain village. We know that village is Bethany. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And so this is a good thing. Luke wants to write this down. He wants to use this verb again. Now, Martha's not perfect. We know that later on the Lord had to tell her off. Tell Mary to come and help me in the kitchen. She's always listening to your word, Lord, and there's other things to do. And the Lord had to tell her off. She's not perfect. She's still a sinner. In some respects, she's not as good as her sister Mary, who seems to be more devotional in her heart and not so concerned about the things of life. But Martha, she's always taken up with these things. It's a different personality. We have different thoughts and views on things. But Martha had this. She had a great welcome for Christ. She received him into her house. You can receive Jesus into your house, and you ought to receive him into your house. The Lord ought not to be outside the door of our home, nor outside the door of our heart. So he has to come into her heart, and if he comes into her heart, he'll come into her home. So she received him into her house. Her house. And then there is that lovely case of Zacchaeus. And that's found in Luke chapter 19. And we read here that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He wasn't just a publican. He was the chief of the publicans. And he was rich. And he's probably rich through his job as a publican. It says here that he ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus. You know the story. He's too small. He can't see over the crowd. And they're not very kind to him. And they're not going to make a room for him to come through. So he has to come up with some other idea. So he runs ahead, climbs up the sycamore tree. And Jesus comes to the place. And he looks up and he sees him. And he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Well, what's the response going to be to this? Now, I think this is why Luke's putting it in. Matthew, Mark, and John aren't recording this, but you know, Luke's putting this in because he's always looking for this warm welcome for Jesus. And so the response is, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He welcomed him. There was this marvelous reception. He brought him home, made him a great feast. And he was blessed that day in his house by receiving Jesus. And this is what sinners have to do. Jesus wants to be received by sinners. Jesus comes through their life in the gospel and through the preaching of the word. He stops in their life and he says, come unto me. Come unto me for salvation. And Jesus wants you to be like Zacchaeus. To receive him joyfully. And that's what we have to do. And those of us that are Christians, that's what we've done. We've received him joyfully into our life. We're glad that he's in our life. We want to receive him more and more into our lives. And so there's this reception. And Luke notes it. Now Luke, of course, from time to time points out that this wasn't always the case. People receiving Jesus. There were the opposite responses at times as well. And sometimes with the same verb. For example, you have it there in the case of the Samaritans in chapter 9, verse 51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before him. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. He's using the verb now with the negative. The Samaritans didn't receive him. He was a Jew. He's going up to Jerusalem to the Jewish celebrations, the Jewish feasts. They had no dealings with the Jews. They didn't want to be part of that. We worship God. We have our worship here in Samaria. We are different. We have the knowledge of God, not you Jews. They received him not. They didn't welcome him. And Luke notes that. Now sometimes he doesn't use the word receive not. Sometimes he uses another word to describe the same thing. Just bluntly reject. They rejected him. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. Luke 17, verse 25, first must he suffer many things and be rejected. And what is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected. And so he uses that other word as well, the rejection of Christ. Oh, that's an awful thing to reject Christ. And sometimes Luke paints that non-reception. You remember how he does it with Judas? The Judas comes up and kisses him. Jesus says, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? That's not a welcome. A false kiss. A deceitful kiss. You betray him with a kiss. And so Luke paints that. He didn't like that welcome of Christ. That wasn't a welcome at all. That was a non-welcome. And a non-welcome is a rejection. Even though it looked like a welcome, there was a kiss there. There was an approach and a reception of some kind to take him, to receive him. But there were evil intentions. And Luke tells us about that. And then you remember how Luke painted the story of Legion. Legion is there sitting and clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. He's given Jesus a great welcome. He was glad to have Jesus in his life. And there he is at his feet, entertaining Christ, giving his poor hospitality to Christ. And the only way that he can, he has nothing. But he's welcomed Christ in his life. And then Luke, he paints the others. The people came along, they saw this. What does the Bible say? They besought him to depart from them, to go away. They rejected him. So that's a non-welcoming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could go through many other examples where the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected. He's non-welcome. Especially you see it at the cross. Luke is painting it very vividly at the cross. All the non-welcoming of Jesus. And in the heart of this non-welcoming of Jesus is the rejection by Pilate of our Lord. His case is peculiar because he wished to release Jesus. He didn't really want to reject Jesus. He did wish to release him. Luke says he was willing to release Jesus. But Luke knows that in no way is that a welcoming of Jesus. It falls far short of this verb. It falls far short of this reception. You know, there are some say that they don't reject Christ. But they don't really want him in their life. And they've no real interest in him. And they just ignore him. They wouldn't call it rejection. It's carelessness. But Luke is telling us in all of this, the non-welcoming of Jesus is rejection of him. The not receiving of him with joy and gladness and heartiness is the rejection of him. Whatever way you want to paint it, he has to be received with the heart. He has to be embraced by faith. And he has to be received by us all, men and women. It's vital to give Christ a warm welcome in your life. Directly, by faith in the gospel, to receive him by faith. But it's also very important, not only that we do it personally and directly, but it's also very important that we do it indirectly as well, in anything that we see Jesus, in his word, or in his house, or in his people. We can't give his people a cold shoulder because we give Christ a cold shoulder. We can't give his word a cold shoulder because we give Christ a cold shoulder. So we must always think about the indirect receiving of Christ. Two brethren and sisters, we have to be very careful with one another and with the things of God, because a carelessness towards those things is a carelessness towards Christ. So don't reject Christ, either directly or indirectly. Daily welcome him. Daily receive him. Earnestly and heartily and sincerely receive him. You remember how John used this word. He came on to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, welcomed him, to them alone, he gave the authority to be called the children of God. And so you see how important this reception of Jesus Christ is. We are not the children of God without it. And we are only the children of God through it. So let us receive him heartily by faith.